Well, we welcome you to Home Church. If this is your first time here, my name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. And we are in a process of rebranding and renewing this church to be a neighborhood church and a church that reaches our city and beyond. We are in a small mini-series called The Gospel-Centered Life. And we take sermon notes every week. So if you want one, feel free to grab one. You can put your hand up if you want one. The reason why we do sermon notes is so that you can learn from today's message and apply it to your life this week. If you don't like paper and you are more of a digital person or an app person, we do have it on our website at ourhomechurch.ca, and we are also releasing an interactive app at the end of the month that you can just fill in the notes and you can email them to you as well. So that's for you. So last week we talked about what it means to live a gospel-centered life. A gospel-centered life is a life full of joy, not just from circumstances, but with our circumstances. The benefits of a gospel-filled life is you are filled with meaningful relationships around you and giving you purpose and meaning in this world. And the gospel is more than just a ticket to heaven, or a decision that you make where you allow Jesus to come into your heart. The gospel is meant to transform you. And the best passage of scripture I can share with you today is actually in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But if you have a chance this week, read Romans. Romans talks about why you and I need the gospel. Romans 1 to 11. It talks about how we are all broken. We all have regrets. And we try to fill it with different things, but nothing really changes us. That's why we need the gospel. Paul talks about how we were once dead to sin, but we can be alive in Christ because of the gospel. It talks about that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus because of the gospel, because of his great love for us. And that love goes beyond anything else that you will ever experience on this earth. And so Romans 12 talks about not just what the gospel is, but what the gospel does in our lives. So let me read this for you. Therefore, I urge you. So Paul says, therefore, because of the gospel, live gospel-centered lives. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice or worship, which is holy, means pure, and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper way of worship. Then he says, because you worship God and the gospel has transformed you, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, not ChatGPT or Google, but to understand what is the very best for your life, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, which is better than Google. One person's with me. Get it. But let's unpack this passage of scripture really quickly before we get into what it means to live a gospel-centered life. The first thing I want to share with you really today, if you are taking notes, is to underline or circle that word renewing. Renewing. That word actually means to renovate. That the Holy Spirit renovates our minds and renovates our souls. Now, I don't know about you, but anyone ever watch a show? It's called HGTV. Yes? My wife loves that show. I do not love that show. And in the span, amen. And on the span of 30 minutes, HGTV will have like, this is what needs to be renovated. So we build a plan. And then from that plan, you build a budget. And then usually point three is there's a problem. So therefore, the budget grows. And then in 30 minutes, you see what it was to what it is, and everyone's amazed, and people are crying because it's so awesome. And my wife gets inspired by this, and she's like, hey, we should renovate stuff in our house. Let's renovate this. Let's renovate that. And I'm like, oh, gosh, it doesn't happen in 30 minutes. It doesn't take that much time, but she gets inspired. Now, let's get to our hearts, because it's the same term renewing as renovating. And renovation, sometimes we like the outcome of a renovation more than the process. The process is hard sometimes. Putting more money to a budget so that you can do a renovation seems nice, but it can be hard. It's like the renovation of our church. We love the new smell of the new carpet. We love the nice chairs that we get to sit on. We have nice floors and working bathrooms. We are almost done. We're 90% done. But most of us don't see the day-to-day of the renovations. For a few weeks, we would have to pull up. Actually, it was my four teenagers that did this. We'd have to stack all the chairs, put them onto the stage so we can do the flooring. Every week, we'd have to reset for church on Sunday. And so people are wiping down chairs, wiping all the dust that's in this building. It doesn't sound great, does it? We love the outcome of a renovation. We don't like the process of a renovation, especially when it comes to our hearts and our minds. So, how does God transform us? By the renewing of our mind. It's not like HGTV. It is a process that actually lasts until Jesus comes. But there is a great reality of what a gospel-filled life looks like. And he does this by renewing our mind. And he does this in four ways. So stick with me with this. But this will help you in 2026 to be the person that God has called you to be. You might be here today and you have the idea and plan, I just need to lose a few more pounds from Christmas. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, okay, I'm going to build a plan around that. Or maybe you want to do a course or a class, or you want to try a new place where you want to do a vacation, and you start to build a plan. Well, this can all happen within the plan of being renewed of your mind. So how can the gospel transform us? Well, the first thing that we see is the gospel transforms our thoughts. Transforms our thoughts. The most powerful computer in the world is not by Elon Musk. It's actually your mind. Your mind actually fires at 2 trillion neurons per second. Per second. The most powerful muscle in your body is actually the brain, because it can be changed and formed and molded. And it's the most important organ as well, because it actually controls every other organ, every other thought, every other thing of your body. Even when you're sleeping, your mind is resetting your experiences, the information for the day in different folders and categories. And this is crazy to think, and I've said this before, but every thought, every experience, every conversation, every heartbreak or joy of your life is actually stored subconsciously in your brain. Every thought. And so we see through scripture that Paul says, be transformed by your thoughts. Now, with saying that, all the information that you get today is actually filtered by your brain, unfortunately broken, because we live in a broken world. So in other words, our thoughts are not always right. And the information that you have every day, you filter them in four different ways. This will help you with self-awareness. The first pattern is assumptions. Now, think of it this way. Have you ever been maybe in a dark room? You go to your bedroom and you think that there's a spider in the corner of your room, or maybe a monster under the bed, and you get these feelings, right? Oh no, I'm really scared. And so you turn on the light, or you run to mom and dad, and you turn on the light and you're like, oh, that wasn't a spider, that was a stuffy. Or you look under the bed and you're like, oh, there wasn't anything there, but my mind is telling me that. Our thoughts are telling ourselves that. Or another way to look at it is, have you ever laid down on the grass in the summertime and you're looking up at the clouds and your mind starts to make pictures of the clouds? Like it could be like an animal or an image, or if you really like basketball, LeBron James. Like, we have these different images, and these images come at us. We call it assumptions. Your brain will naturally build assumptions about the information and the images and the experiences that you have in life, including truth. Including truth. Your brain will naturally shift through what is actually true and what should be true. And as followers of Jesus, what is true is found in God's word. So even though your mind thinks, oh no, there's a spider in the corner of my room, or there's a monster under my bed, or hey, that cloud looks like LeBron James, doesn't mean it's true. Even though your brain is telling you it is. It's called assumptions. The second one is generalization. To generalize is we build patterns or thoughts based on our experiences. So my friends, for example, who aren't followers of Jesus who go to the gym, they don't want to go to church with me because they have heard or experienced or had friends around them that have been hurt by the church. And so therefore they think, oh man, every church hurts people. That's what they think. That's where our minds go. But is that true? Is that truth? Well, it could be true to them, but the truth is that Jesus was actually hurt too. Jesus was broken. He had scars, but he heals. That's the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus transforms us to be gospel-filled people, not just based on our experiences, but based on truth. So even though you might be here today and you've been hurt by the church, I get it, I understand it, I've heard it. In fact, if we had enough time, we could probably all say we have been hurt by someone or something when it comes to church. Is that true? Yes. But is it the truth? The gospel heals hurt. Heals us from these different things. And so I try to be Jesus to my friends. We generalize sometimes, but doesn't necessarily lead us to truth. So stick with me how this works. The third one is deletions. The best way you could put it is selective hearing. My wife, for example, thinks that I have selective hearing at times. And I just sometimes forget what she has said accidentally, but it's like selective hearing. We do the same. Think of how you got here today. You got here by a car, someone drove you here, you took the bus. We call it, the definition of it is primary and secondary modes of information. So in other words, your brain can only handle so much information, which is usually a one-to-one conversation. But anything outside of that, your brain will start putting that into secondary modes of information. So when you're driving here, you are in primary information to get from point A to point B, which is the church, and you're forgetting all the things that are going around you, the information. So the trees that are going around you, or that car, or that person that jumped out on the street, and you're like, well, I'm getting to church. Church is more important than all that. It's called primary information. So we do deletions. Sometimes, unfortunately, we do that with church as well. We're like, oh, I'm really looking forward to church today because of the great food Cinda makes for us. Amen. Or I'm really looking forward to the worship today. That's all you tend to think about. But if we actually come to church and say, God, renew my mind, transform me, help me to hear your voice afresh and anew, then you will actually want to be refreshed and renewed. You will want to engage in worship, not just to sing songs that you might not know or think too loud or too soft or they're too old or too new. You actually just want to engage and hear God's voice because he renews us and restores us and gives us well-being. We see through Scripture, even through Advent, unfortunately, that the people of God had selective hearing with God. We can do the same. So our minds naturally want to process information which is important to us or not important to us. And the last one is distortions, which means our minds are broken. We naturally have broken thoughts. And because we do, we live in a broken world. It's interesting to note, if you do the studies, especially around social media, that our brains, unfortunately, want to gravitate to negative experiences. In fact, even if we did a little test today, that you can remember heartbreak. You will remember the emotions. You can remember the brokenness you've experienced or the pain or grief in a moment because those feelings come up. But it's harder to go back and look at all the great things that have happened to your life and find gratitude. But that's rewiring your brain, restoring your brain, and we'll talk about that. Because our thoughts actually dictate our feelings. So that's the second thing that we see with a gospel-centered life. A gospel-centered life transforms our feelings. And if you get anything out of today, it would be this. The gospel transforms our feelings by replacing our thoughts with his thoughts. With his thoughts. Jesus put it this way If you have, hold on to my teaching, not selective hearing here, not generalization, not assumptions, not deletions. If you hold on to my teaching, so for example, Jesus says that God so loved the world. Imagine in your own brokenness, you think, oh, God cannot love me. Did he say that? Did he say, hey, I'm only going to love you if you have glasses? Or I'm only going to love you when you comb your hair? Or I'm only going to love you when you put pit stick on? Or I'm only going to love you because you say and do and all the right things? No, he doesn't say that. God so loved the world. It's truth. And he says that if you hold on to my teachings or my truth, then the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? Your own broken thoughts. From shame and guilt and condemnation. How amazing is that? I know there's a million self-help books and there's great counseling, but the Holy Spirit can transform you in a moment and a lifetime if you allow him. If you allow him. Growing up, I grew up in a broken home. Mom and dad wasn't together. There's many different reasons for that, but I grew up in a broken home, and it naturally made me think that I was broken. Not from God, but that I had to deal through my own brokenness. And when I was an early follower of Jesus, a friend of mine said, hey, Andy, when you go through these hard things, when you think you're not good enough, when you think you're not smart enough, when you think that perhaps, you know, you being a pastor is hard and you want to be a businessman, but you remember the whispers of God, why don't you write down scripture? Scripture that you can put into your life and replace your thoughts with his thoughts. So I actually have a few on the screen that I want to share with you today. It's not in your sermon notes, but feel free to take a picture because these words are not my words. These are God's words for me, but these could be God's words for you as well. Sometimes even when we are in our season years of life, we think, hey, my best years of life was back 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Or we think even as a church, oh, the best part of our church was 50 years ago. That's not true. Our minds go there, but it doesn't mean it's truth. So truth is replacing our thoughts with his thoughts. Replacing our lies with the truth. Replacing our shame with his love. Replacing guilt with how God sees us. And it's a process. It takes time, like a renovation. When the dust is in, and when you pull back the walls of your life and you find a surprising mess, just like we have found surprises here, you replace your thoughts with God's thoughts. So when I felt like my sin was too big, I would say, no, I'm now alive with Christ. I would pull out that little card in my back pocket, which was in my wallet at the time. You can put it on your phone. As you take a picture, you can pull these out. But I would actually have to say these. I'm now new in Christ Jesus. I'm not pulled away to be what I was in the past, but I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm born afresh by God. I now have the mind of Christ. My thoughts are not necessarily helpful to me. I can now have the same thoughts that God has given to me and to you. I've received abundant grace and the gift of righteousness, which means right relationship with God and others, even though I've been harmed or others have harmed or I've harmed others, and reign in my life through Christ. He transforms our feelings by you replacing your thoughts with his thoughts. I'm now a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, are you willing to open up the renovation, the dark places, the moldy places, the stinky places, and let Christ renovate? And I'm not talking about the outcome. I'm talking about the process. Because all of us here are like HGTV. Yeah, I want God to heal me in 30 minutes. If not, sorry, not interested. No, God is in the process of healing. And he does it by replacing our thoughts with his thoughts. And if I was honest with you, it's a lifelong discipleship journey with Jesus. But can you overcome? Yes. Can you experience freedom? Absolutely. Can you transform others as the gospel has transformed you? Absolutely. And then we see that Paul puts it this way to the Corinth context. We take captive every thought, he says, to make it obedient to Christ. He says that we should give our thoughts to him so that he can transform not only our thoughts or our feelings, but last, the gospel transforms our desires. Transforms our desires. Now, desires are very powerful. Desires motivate us. A desire to get married, a desire to have a promotion, a desire in 2020, someone changed this, by the way. It was supposed to be a 6, but a 9. I'm assuming here, my brain assumes that it's either a teenager or one of my kids. That's where my mind goes, but I'm not going to let that happen, okay? But 2026, you can say, yeah, I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to lose the weight. I'm going to take that trip. I'm going to do the course. But why don't you this year go a little deeper? Go a little deeper. Because desires have the power to dictate our feelings, overtake our thoughts, and control even our decision-making. Most people make bad decisions with good intentions. Hey, Andy, I'm really lonely. I just need to be with this person. Not a follower of Jesus, but it's totally okay. I'm like, okay, bro, totally okay. Why don't you give that to Jesus? It's a desire that we should give to Jesus. There's nothing wrong with fast food, for example. Go for that fast food. But if it's all about fast food, it's not good for you. It's the same way with social media. There's nothing wrong with social media until you're death scrolling and now it controls you. There's nothing wrong with having these deep desires for relationship or have a better career or to make money. But this is what Paul says to a young leader wrestling through all those things. His name was Titus. And this is what he says when it comes to feelings. At one time, we were too foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. It's desire. Those are not bad desires. Yeah, amen, whoever said that. Great job back there. Thanks, Adam. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating everyone. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, his Jesus, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us, he gave us the gospel through washing of rebirth, in other words, to have a new life, new year, new life, and renewed by the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. That same renewal to being renewed is the same word that we get for renovation. So we replace our thoughts with his thoughts. He renovates us by truth, but also through the Spirit. The Spirit contextualizes and makes it relational to you, where the Spirit changes you. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better father. I'm a better person by reading God's word. One thing that I have done in my life early on is read, if I have tried this and I do it often, to read cover to cover year by year. And you might be here and say, well, Andy, that's why we pay you. We pay you to read God's word. Sorry, friends, I'm gonna blow your bubble. You don't pay me to read God's word. You pay me to be a shepherd. You pay me to care and love. It's up to you to let God's word change you through the power of the Spirit. But I need to say to you, every year that I read the scriptures, I am a better person because of the scripture. And maybe you're here today and you're like, Andy, I'm too busy. I can't read the cover to cover year by year. Then start in the Gospel of John. Read one chapter a day. It'll take you 10 minutes of the day. If you don't like to read, then listen to it. If you don't like to listen or read, then go to YouTube and Google or go to John chapter 1. And let YouTube take care of you. Whatever that looks like, I encourage you to do that. And then go back to Proverbs or Psalms and read a proverb and a psalm per day. It's January 4th, so read Proverbs 4. It will change your life for the better. You will be a better person. You'll be a better spouse. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better worker when you let God's word speak to you. And sometimes our minds, I know this is going, you're like, yeah, Andy, yeah, I get it, but you don't know my spouse. Andy, you don't know about my life. And we go back into our old patterns of generalization, assumptions, deletions. We go back to those thoughts rather than being transformed by God's word. The other thing you can do this year, which I encourage you to do, is to pray. Pray and praying activates. It releases God's activity in your life. You do not need to hold on to the pain and guilt anymore or things that need to be changed in your life. You offer it to God and you wait expectantly for God to miraculously provide. I encourage you to do that. We even have prayer cards in the foyer. You can grab one of them. You can put them in your car, in your mirror, you can put it in your Bible, whatever that looks like. And you can pray. Now, you might be here and say, well, Andy, that's why we pay you. We pay you to pray for us. Well, I do. Yes, of course, the pastoral staff does. But we are also called to shepherd you, to pray. Because prayer is not just a list of rules and regulations. It's a relationship with God to be transformed. And what's interesting is God transforms your desires. And he meets all of your desires according to his best for you. You don't have to manipulate. You don't have to generalize. You don't have to push. You just walk with the Spirit and let the Spirit of the living God pour out, as we see, on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is why we get to experience communion today. Jesus poured out his very life for you so that the Spirit of the living God can be poured out to you to transform you and to renew you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward because we're going to go into a song. And before we go into this song, and as we take communion together, if we can go back to that slide of those scripture verses on page 11. I don't know if you got that, Frida, but those scripture verses about replacing our thoughts with his thoughts. Before we end today, there is a healthy spiritual exercise we call, which is to replace our thoughts with his thoughts. So I apologize for those that were taking pictures and I went to the next slide, but I wanted to bring it back up. Today, this morning, before we take communion, why don't you, in your own way, replace your thoughts with his? You can do it right now. You don't need to have a special ceremony. You don't have to be right with God. You just got to be real with God. You don't have to be afraid of replacing your thoughts with his. But in 2026, he wants to renovate you and me. The dust, the dirt, the mold. The darkness. And sometimes, like I said, our minds want to ruminate. We go back to those patterns rather than inviting his thoughts. And no one can replace your thoughts other than you with his thoughts. So when Paul is saying that Jesus poured out himself to you, that means that he literally gave everything to you. He's poured out his own body, bruised and broken for you, to have a new relationship with God and with others, and to replace your broken thoughts with his thoughts of love, of grace, of purpose, of healing, of wholeness, of perspective, of courage, of hope. To provide afresh a new renovated heart that doesn't just happen in a moment, but each and every day. So let me pray with you as you do that, as you let these words soak into your heart. So Lord, each one of us humbly come to you today. Each of us wrestle with our own broken ways and our broken thoughts. Some of us distort truth. Some of us are selective and we delete. For others in the room, we might generalize and just throw everything in one pot, and others we assume. God, we give our minds to you. Renovate us today. Transform our thoughts with your thoughts. Transform our feelings that tend to be negative and replace with your joy. Lord, give us courage even in this moment as we remember and reflect on communion, that we would give our desires to you, which are good, by the way. That we would not obsess with the things of this world that bombards us, like social media and success and money and fear and power, but that we would be renovated, renewed by the Holy Spirit, and that we would invite you, Holy Spirit, as we partake and participate in communion this morning, that we would be renewed in our thoughts. In Jesus' name.